Hey, Andrew, welcome to A Runner's Life podcast. How are you doing?
Hey, Marcus. Good, good. Thank you. And thanks for having me.
No problem. I know we've been trying to get this scheduled in the diary, but you've just recently had a baby. So your wife's recently had a baby and there's been a lot of moving parts. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, it's been a bit full on the last 12 days, but no, all good. Positive changes.
Yeah, most definitely. So to give the listeners like an introduction into who we are, we actually met through social media, even though we live in the same place, well, quite close to each other. Can you talk a little bit like how that came about?
Yeah, sure. So recently started up a running club. I think it was in early May. My neighbor Stuart and I decided to do it. And I think within a week or two of starting it, setting up the Instagram page, etc., I think Stuart said, "Oh, you know, follow Marcus," and you know, I think he lives locally. I'm not sure though. I think he saw you one of your runs or something. I don't know how. And you end up reaching out to us saying, "Hey, I see you guys are doing a running club in Enfield. That sounds really cool. I live in Enfield. Let's meet up." So we met up and had a chat over a run, as you do, being runners. And yeah, it just seemed like kind of aligned to what we were thinking in terms of what would be a good running club in the area. And it seemed like it would work together to work together well and get you on board. And thankfully, you're very keen to do so. So very appreciative of that.
Yeah, I think what you started is really cool and it's great to see it grow as we'll sort of go on from like, as a handful of people to now like an official UK athletics run club and you know a couple of regular sessions per week with just like a good community I think that we're growing. So that's not we're growing, I think it's a good community that everyone's bringing something to, and I think that's the most amazing thing. It's just amazing to see it develop and like organically grow itself.
Yeah, exactly. I think organic's the key, right? We when I decided to start it off, it was just I don't know. I did not know how to start a running club. I mean, who does? I just thought there wasn't one in the area close enough. I really enjoyed my experiences of being in a running club in the past, and I'd love to replicate something in the area. As there wasn't anything, I thought, well, I can't just wait for someone to make one. I should just have a crack at it myself. So went for I chatted to Stuart, my neighbor. He was quite keen on doing it. I also was having a play. My daughter was having a play date with her nursery friend, and his dad was around, and he said to me, he just mentioned running. He was in the army previously, and he said, "Oh, you know, I had looked at a running club in the past, and if you were to do a running club, I would join." And I thought, well, there's three of us, so let's see what happens. And you know, reached out to a few friends first week. I think we had five people, including myself. Just reached out to a few WhatsApp groups and stuff, and then just kept it pretty consistent. So every Wednesday at 7 o'clock we met up. You know, more and more people came. Stuart's very good at the marketing aspect, so he printed off some flyers, did some flyer drops at the park runs and the children's park runs, because I guess what we're after is not so much just, you know, your hardcore runner, because most of the hardcore runners are already in an established club and, you know, very active in that. But what we're really wanting to do here is use running as a platform to build a community in the area. A lot of people picked up running after COVID, and they obviously did that by themselves, being COVID. And it's been, you know, a few years now since the lockdowns have lifted, but people are still running. And I think running's a great tool to use to meet other people, because some of us may be, you know, socially nervous, or it's hard to meet people outside of your everyday life. But when you're running with someone and you're running next to them, it kind of lowers your guard a bit, and it's easier to talk to someone. And also, you've got one thing to talk about in common straight away because you're running next to them, you know, or her. It's a great conversation starter. So the idea of the running club, I guess, wasn't so much about the running. It was more about meeting people in the area and trying to make Enfield Chase, our local area, a place where we just knew more people, and we kind of all knew one another, and it kind of felt like a bit more of a community vibe, like, you know, you used to see in the old school movies, which we never really had in our current lives.
I think you touched on some important points there. I think because we've both been members of other running clubs, and I think the common factor for both of us was when you move, or the distance in actually getting to there, because obviously you've got work, you've got family, so that kind of limits a little bit of your time. Obviously you can travel to go to places, but you go back to your local area and you don't know anyone. And I think, like you said, it's a great point actually to be, it's the convenience really as well, but also it's just getting to know your area and in terms of running routes and people. And same for you, same for me, it's just like there's people I've met that have like streets away or own businesses in the area that we didn't know before, now we know them. And that is just really creating stronger bonds, really.
Yeah, it's really cool. I'll go for a walk lately, and most times now I'll see someone I know, which is really crazy. I kind of say to my wife, and she gets a bit annoyed at me. I'm like, oh, I just, you know, saw so-and-so when I went out to, I don't know, go to the bakery or something. You know, just walking down the street, I see someone, and I probably said it to my wife too much, because she's just like, oh, I get it. You know, like, you know people in the area now, stop talking about it. But it's just really cool. I mean, it's such a positive feeling to know more people in the area, and it kind of makes it feel more like home. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, for you personally, why is it important to kind of reach out to meet people and know people in your local area?
Sure. I think it's important for anybody, right? But I guess in my situation specifically, you can probably tell from the accent, I'm not from the UK. I don't have any family in the country. So my wife and I are both Kiwis. We've been over here for coming up to 8 years now. We had quite a good group of friends for a while, but when they slowly kind of petered out with, you know, 2 year, 5 year visas, etc. And then when COVID struck, that was kind of like a hard stop for a lot of people. They just thought, you know, New Zealand's open, the rest of the world isn't, it's time to go home, and they left. So that kind of, yeah, that happened. We moved to Enfield. We knew one person moving out here, but yeah, didn't really have a huge connection of people. And I don't think, you know, I think a lot of people in a similar situation, but you go to work, you have work colleagues, and they're great, but they never live in the same area. London's huge. It's such a big area. Mm. The chances of a work colleague being in the same area are very, very remote. And these days, how do you meet people? You know, like, a lot of our lives are online and just very busy. So you work long hours, you come home on the train or however you commute. You don't generally talk to people on the train because it's kind of like your time to decompress from your day or to wake up on the way to work. So I just thought, you know, how can I meet more people in the area? How can I get to know people? I mean, there's obviously children, you know, parents from your children's schools or nurseries, etc. But sometimes you don't really have a conversation when you drop a child off at daycare in the morning. It's a 2 minute drop and you're out. I just thought, well, what do I do? I run quite a bit, so, and I enjoy doing it. And I'd been doing a few events and activities, and my last one it was a lot of training, a lot of time, and I just didn't feel like training at the moment. And I just felt like doing something different and not about me per se. I just kind of wanted to see what else I could do, but to still do running. So I thought, how do I align meeting new people, still running, but, you know, doing something else for some other people as well. And I just thought this idea of the running club, which I've had the back of my mind for quite a while, just thought now's the time to do it. And using that as a way to kind of meet people. And I think obviously the growth of the running club shows that a lot of other people feel the same. You know, they want to meet people in the area. They want to connect outside of work colleagues and et cetera. So yeah, I guess that's kind of how it came about.
It's interesting when you talked about those points before about the importance of meeting people within your local community, because it does get harder. I think as you get older, your circle of people that you meet then does tend to shrink because of other responsibilities. When you're younger, you've got more people around you, school, university, socials, but I think it does change as you get a bit older and it gets a bit smaller. And other people have their own responsibilities and lives and things that are putting pressure on them. So I think actually by being in community to people locally, like it's quite close to them. It takes out one of the factors which makes it difficult to meet people, like the distance or the barrier, that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah,
you could say go into London, for example, but like if you've got kids and you've got a partner, you can't be like, I'm just going to go. Like, you can't go, Andrew and I are going to go to South London and come back. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
no chance.
Part of my sense. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's it. And also, very few people live in the area that they grew up in. So you may have lots of friends and stuff. And those friends, even if you personally live in that area, a lot of your friends from growing up have dissipated, have moved elsewhere, have, you know, traveled abroad or changed towns due to occupations, etc. So that is why group circles, friend circles kind of shrink as you get older. So you kind of got to find ways to, I don't know, to meet new people and different methods than what is kind of normal day-to-day life.
Absolutely. And let's go back to the start of actually growing it. So you talked about, you know, you asked some friends and they come along. And I remember one of the first conversations that we had, we went to parkrun, and this is like how bad I am. When you said to me parkrun, I just thought like adult parkrun. You're like, no, it's a kid's one. And like, you're like, what, on a Sunday? I was like, it's a parkrun on a Sunday? What is that? What's this witchcraft you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
And then we went down there and we're like, do you want to take it away? And we were like, yeah, going there and like handing out leaflets and stuff.
Yeah, that's it. So early on, Stuart and I worked on logos. Like I said, he's pretty creative. We kind of hashed out a few ideas and we came up with the one we did. And then we did flyers. So how are we going to get to meet people, right? How do you contact people that run? Because I'm not too sure how. But obviously, someone that is local and runs, there is a high chance that they do parkrun. And we don't want to just get, you know, the serious runners, etc. We're looking at families or, you know, young people with, you know, young families and using running as an outlet. So we thought, you know, let's go to the kids park run on a Sunday and hand out some flyers. And I was petrified of doing this. It's not my nature. I'm a bit of a, you know, I don't know, reserved guy. I don't really like kind of putting myself out there and stuff. So it was a bit tough doing it. But yeah, so it was good that this is the first time you and I met. You're right. Went to the kids park run, bunch of flyers, went up to the park run director, you know, hey, how you going? Okay, if I hand out flyers, sure, no problem. And the first couple, you know, I was a bit nervous about, and I think maybe we all were. But once you get going, you find out everyone's really friendly, you know, and everyone is quite happy to see something new and that's been done in the area and very supportive, even if that's just kind of to get you to leave them alone and move on to the next person. But it was quite fun. It was refreshing. I wouldn't, luckily we don't need to do it too much anymore because we've kind of got enough of a platform that's self-sustaining. But yeah, we did do a few flyer drop days. There was the kids park run and then the adults park run as well, which was quite good.
Yeah, and just going back to that park run when we were there and we were talking to like the parents and the people that down there, I think one of the biggest pushbacks that I got, and it's probably the same for you guys, was that some would say like, oh, well, I'm a member of another run club. And we'd say, well, that's cool. You can run with us. But the reason why we're running on Wednesdays is because it's between a typical club night, which would be Tuesdays and Thursdays in the UK. So come down. It's not, you know, you've got to put your flag down and, you know, it's not an initiation ceremony.
Yeah, exactly.
You come and go.
It was quite interesting, wasn't it? Because I did come across that barrier quite a bit. And when we were thinking of what days do we want to do it, we did look at what the closer clubs, what dates they do it, and what is the common dates of running clubs. Because it's not an either or situation. It's you can do both. Like, we're not out here kind of trying to compete with other running clubs. We're out here trying to meet people in our area, and we're just using running as a way of doing it. It's not ever going to be chalking up to them at the start line of a race, trying to beat them and become kind of the top club of the infield borough. Not about that at all. It's just about using running to meet people in the area. If you're in another running club, cool, great. You can also run with us on a Wednesday. There's no commitment. You know, you don't feel like you're betraying your club because you're not. You're just meeting people in the area.
And I think one of the key things that you did as well is that reached out to local clubs, introduced yourself, just sort of said, like, we're here, we're not trying to step on toes, we'd love to collaborate and, you know, work together as well.
Yeah, I didn't want to start a turf war. and I think also you can learn lots from local clubs, and they're really nice people. So I met with the two local clubs chairmans, and one-on-ones, you know, had coffees or had chats with them, and very, very nice, welcoming, helped me out throughout the process, you know, told me about certain events or, you know, leagues that we could look at doing, etc. Some of the issues that they've had with their clubs, and very welcoming, supportive. You know, runners are generally nice people. I think, you know, running is quite a de-stressing activity, so you don't really get a high-strung runner normally. So yeah, it was really good to meet them, and I think it was important to do so as well. We didn't want to step on toes doing this project. We kind of just want to increase the positivity in the area and not have any kind of detracting factors in doing so.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And in those conversations that you had with other clubs, did they give you any advice, or what have you learned from yourself about what are the key elements to build a growing community or a sustainable community?
Not directly, but it was quite interesting listening to them talk about what their clubs do, how they evolved throughout the time, because a lot of them are really well-established clubs, right? They've been around for 40 plus years, and they've obviously gone through generations of leaderships and you know, long-standing members, etc. And that's great. That kind of heritage is quite nice, but also it's a bit of a hindrance for some in that their name might need to be changed because the membership has shifted demographics in terms of location over time, or you know, you might want to update your colors or your logos, but you can't because you've got a huge inventory and you've got people that already own these t-shirts and you don't want to make them buy new ones and things like that. But you know, they're still good clubs, they're still very active, but those are sorts of kind of challenges and aspects of kind of running clubs. But what sorry, I kind of missed answering the question there, so I've got to kind of backtrack a bit.
No, I think you gave like context to like what they were doing, and basically saying that they had like a lot of heritage and it made it a bit slower sometimes, a little less agile. I think then you're probably going to move on to something else.
Yeah, exactly. It makes it slower, less agile, sometimes a bit bureaucratic in process, but you know, they work well. What is the key success to having a thriving community? It's such a multifaceted factors to it. It's really hard to pin down a few points, right? You know, you got to kind of have a clear established like purpose and vision what you're doing. It's a running club, right? So it's running is an easy one for a lot of people, but we want it to be more than that. And I think people, if they get on board with that, if they understand it, if you're out and open with what you want to do, then that helps to build and shape the community and your club going forward. So it was a clear purpose and vision of what we want to do. We want to be a running club, but not just about running. We want to be community focused, you know, building the infield chase area, helping small businesses, charities. Yeah, we'll go for runs twice a week, but we also want to do things like tree planting with the local charity groups and trusts that do that. We want to kind of work with small businesses and how can we help them there, because once you get a platform and you have a group together that are unified and they have that vision of what the running club is and what we're about, that kind of helps create a thriving community, and your small community within a larger community can help beneficial factors to the wider community. So I don't really know what the key elements are, to be honest. We're still learning. It's quite a work in process. Yeah. But the things that we're trying to do is we're trying to be, as I said, clear purpose and vision. We're trying to make sure that the communication is very effective and open. We're kind of we have a WhatsApp group that we're in there and trying to keep members up to date on what we're doing and try and make sure it's very inclusive and let people talk and share their views and visions as well. And if they have ideas, it's great. We kind of engage with that and try run with it. And also just making sure everyone feels welcome and like they're a part of the group, basically from the first run that they do. And that's not me doing that. That's everyone else doing that as well. You know, some things I've tried to do from the start, which I've always been really bad at people's names. I think a lot of people are. But the thing that I've really tried to focus on from day one is remembering every single person's name that comes to the runs. And thus far, I think I've pretty much got it. We'll see how it goes. If it grows anymore, I'm probably going to struggle. But, you know, knowing people's names, using those names so that other people can pick up on that name and use it and remember who they are and have a chat with them. And then they feel like a part straight away. If it's someone's first time, I'll try and make sure I have at least 5 minutes on the run with them to talk to them and get to know them, etc. But other people do the same, and it's really good. So you finish a run and you'll see a group of people talking to this new person, or, you know, a couple one-on-one conversations going on. And it's really positive to see. And I think that we are creating a thriving community. Now, I don't know if those are the key elements, but whatever we're doing, it seems to be working, and that's really cool.
Yeah, I think people feel seen, they feel heard, and I think that's an important part. Like you're saying, just trying to make sure. I mean, we only live and see from our own perspectives, but we can try to be as open as possible, but we can only see from our limited perspective. But I think we're all doing the best that we can, and I guess at this stage it's quite easy because it's easier because it's a little bit more agile. And yeah, obviously that may not be the case down the line. Potentially, you talked about some of the additional clubs. Like, we had the thing where we were looking at the club singlets, and we had an idea of like what we'd like to do, but then it was kind of like, let's put it out to the community, because I think, like sort of saying, like, if the community feels invested in that decision, then they feel part of it more than they're just being told. And I think that's pretty cool. Like, even though you might not get the one that you want, I'd rather have the group to like go with the group majority, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and we've definitely tried to do that throughout, like, especially in the early days, doing polls. You know, we might have an idea of what we want to do for something, but we'll do a poll and try to get everyone's views on it so that they feel like they're part of building this club. The Vest is a perfect example. We did polls for that. And now kind of the next step is to try to divvy out some responsibilities to people as well. And just little things. So something we've started this week is we have a bit of a committee. So there's, you know, five or six of us that have a kind of discussions. And we try run and plan things, what the club's going to do and become, etc., going forward. And this committee thus far have mostly been the ones that do the tail marking, right? So running at the back of the pack to make sure that everyone's not getting dropped off, etc. But I think going forward now, what we've started to do is to ask the individuals at the club on the night, so who wants to be tail marker? And that's such a little thing, but that kind of gives people ownership on their club, that they are now becoming a part of it. They're doing a role and they're getting involved. Very small example, but that's an idea of what we're trying to do, is trying to make sure that the next stage is to make sure people are taking ownership and actively involving in the club. And that takes off responsibility from the committee, but also it empowers the club and build that community.
That makes total sense. And I think in terms of community, like, sometimes it can be misinterpreted that it must be about big numbers or that kind of thing, even though the numbers are growing. But I still think that the most important thing is the quality of those relationships and the bonds and knowing people's names and, you know, as much as you can, to be honest, because like you're saying, if you've got 30 people, it's hard to speak to 30 plus people in one run, but you try your best to make sure that new people feel involved, that the people that are coming, like you're saying, feel a part of it and invested as well. And it's just that ongoing dialogue that we're all still trying to figure out, I think, as we go along.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know if we want to be a big club. I don't think we do, because that's going to probably take off the... It's probably going to diminish what we're trying to do. If you're in too big a group, you don't feel like you're part of something. You don't feel like you're as part of something, I guess. You're not kind of, you don't have as much of an active involvement, because it's just another number in a huge group. And you turn up for your first time, you're going to feel intimidated because everyone's got these little clicks, because that's what happens when you get a big group. Because humans can't talk to like 50 people in one run, right? You're going to generally be talking to a few people if it's a big group, and you have these little clusters. And then that becomes a bit clicky, and then you're not going to feel very involved on day one, because everyone's just going to focus on their clicks, because they don't actually know who's in their club, and they don't know that this person's new, so they're not going to step out and introduce them and get to know them. Whereas now it's great, because if someone turns up on a Wednesday, the people that are regulars, they will know that they're new, and someone will definitely introduce themselves, get to know them, and most of them actually would do that, and it's pretty cool to see. And that's the benefit of being a small club.
Yeah, totally agree. I think, like you say, it looks great on socials and for photos if you've got like 200 people, 100 people, but like how well do they know each other? And I think, like I said before, I think the quality of those relationships is more important. And for me personally, what I've really enjoyed seeing is the progress. So you get someone coming. So we've got two distances. So we've got like, you know, a 5K and an 8K. And, you know, someone's just like either started running or getting back into running, and they'll be like, this week I got here, and the next week I got here. And you can see like the pride in the face, and that's like so good to see. And also you've seen your compatriots, your local residents, your friends, your community doing it. And you're like, well, if they can do that distance, and I can do it. And you see sometimes someone would be like, I'm going to do this distance, but I'll do this distance because I'm running with this person, not a peer pressure type thing, but because they're running with a friend who's encouraging them. And it's just amazing to see their confidence grow and just to go further.
There's so many stories within our small group already that kind of spring to mind, right? Joining a running club, a lot of people are really nervous. A lot of people saying, oh, I'm not fast enough yet. I'll come when I'm fit enough. I'll come when I can run X speed or whatever. But those that have just turned up that can't do that, they're the best stories. You know, like I remember a guy pretty early on, he came on and his run with us, I think we were all doing the 8K because it wasn't enough for us to do split 8 and 5 at that stage. But he didn't. He was like, look, I'm just kind of getting back into running. I'm not super fit. I'll run with you till I can, and then I'll just turn around and go home. And like, don't worry about me. And we're like, are you sure? Like, happy to walk with you, etc. He's like, no, it's fine. So he would run up to the roundabout, which I think was maybe K and a half, 2K, and that was his run. And then over time, you know, he's doing the 5K now, for example. You know, and there was another guy that was, you know, run walking it, and now he's running it, and he's kind of, you know, actively being the tail marker, etc., and you know, getting really involved and enjoying it, and the progress of the run's fantastic. And you see some people that are, you know, doing, they're just getting into running, they're doing 5Ks, etc., they've joined us, and then the structure of running from doing, you know, just the park run in the week to now doing the Monday and the Wednesday and the Saturday, and doing a couple extra, their running is just going from stride to stride and improving so much. And they might attribute it to the club, but it's not the club, it's them. But we're just kind of giving them the opportunity to kind of help structure their running, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, that's a real positive side of it, but I'm just also thinking of like, what are some of the challenges sort of that you're facing now that people don't always appreciate in this stage of a running club at these early stages?
It's quite a tough one. I mean, there's obviously a lot of admin in the back end and organizing and talking to, you know, a lot of leads that don't go anywhere. Example, you know, you reach out to different groups and entities and talk to people and things go nowhere, but you just got to kind of keep trying. So there's a lot of work in the background that you just kind of just do. And It may go nowhere, whatever. That's, you know, it is what it is. Some of the challenges I've found so far, because it's been quite rewarding and it's been actually enjoyable, even though, you know, it might be a bit of time consuming, but if you're enjoying something and it's, you feel like you're contributing something bigger than yourself, you don't mind, you just do it and it's good fun. But the one thing that was kind of the biggest challenge for me was, I touched on this before, was like putting myself out there. New Zealand's got a bit of a tall poppy syndrome, and you don't like to put your head up above from everyone else because you're just going to get lopped off. But when you're starting something like this, you've kind of got to get out there. You've got to meet people. You've got to kind of be a bit of a face. And for me, that I was really worried about that, and it was quite a bit of a struggle. But, I mean, the people are so nice and friendly, it doesn't become much of a factor anymore. But that was a bit of a challenge for me internally for a while.
Yeah, and I imagine that's like an ongoing thing, but I guess as time goes on, it kind of quietens a little bit more than it was before.
Yeah, I guess I kind of I overthink things a lot, and I'm always kind of thinking about what could go wrong, how is this going to get interpreted. I'm really conscious of how we're going to build the club and what the culture is going to be. So little things like, do we finish at the pub on a Wednesday? It seems like such a small part of it, but to me, I was running through my head a lot, because if we pushed going to the pub too much after Wednesday, then we might sway to more of a drinking club, and that might put people off who don't drink, or it might kind of bring in the wrong kind of people, or it kind of, things might go wrong. And I don't know, little factors you've just got to think about. It's such a minor decision, but the little ripples can have quite a big consequence, because it's such an early part of the club and it could define what the culture of the club's going to be. So yeah, I guess that's part of the challenges there as well.
I think some important points there you talked about. I think, especially in the UK, there's that perception if you go to the pub that you're going to drink, but there's quite a few of us that don't drink, or you may have a pint or not, but it's not forced on people. And it's just like also respecting that some people don't want to go to the pub for that reason.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's a really important point.
In the club who aren't drinkers, right? And we say, you know, on a Wednesday, you know, we go for a run, 8K, 5K. We meet back up at our start point. Those who want to can come join us for a drink. You know, don't feel pressured. But it's not really about the drinking. It's just about kind of having a chat after the run and getting to know people. Generally, at the moment, because it's summer, we'll sit outside of the pub. A lot of people just get a water or a lime and soda. Some get a pint. Some people have, you know, two, maybe three at tops, but that's not really, it's not really kind of drinking for the sake of drinking. It's just to kind of chat after the run, get to know people. And I think that is actually one of the things that has helped our club the most, because you talk to more people at that point and for longer, and you're not out of breath.
Yeah. But I think we should give some context to the pub, because when we first started, and it was like summer and it's great, so you can literally run there, run home, you're going to be fairly warm. But then you're sort of thinking, okay, well, say if someone wants to change their clothes, or they want to change, bring something with them that they can't take on a run, or we need a space. Okay, we haven't got a clubhouse. Okay, so, you know, then we reached out, looked at the pubs, because I think that was one of the easiest options. But we've actually got like a new location as well coming up for winter, and it's interesting how that changes and grows as the club grows and changes its needs.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a good point. That is one of the reasons why we did the pub, because we needed somewhere to put our bags. But also, a lot of people wanted to have a drink afterwards, right? So it kind of worked out together. But yeah, we're going to be in a couple of weeks moving to a new venue. So we reached out to a cricket club, like a sports and social club, and just asked them, hey, we're a new running club. We don't have any money. Can we use your place to start our runs and finish our runs? Just purely because when it's winter and it's dark, we don't want to be standing by an obelisk in the, you know, pitch black pouring rain, waiting for everyone to turn up for 15 minutes. Like, it'd be quite nice to stand inside somewhere. And we don't really want to use a pub, because then we might become too affiliated with that pub. We want to you know, we're a standalone entity, and it would be, you know, it could just work. And luckily, they're really nice, really accommodating. They're going to let us use that their facilities for free, you know, lockers, etc. They also have a bar upstairs, which is helpful for those that want to do the drinking afterwards. And yeah, but again, that's another thing that has been that run through my mind quite a long time. Like, is this the right move? Are we going to push members away because it's a little bit further for some? Or yeah, is this going to work? Is the bar going to be okay? Are people going to enjoy the time afterwards? Just, yeah, every little decision we have to make is quite vital at this point.
Yeah. But sometimes we like make decisions, we try things and it doesn't work. Like, for example, there's a local run track that we've got, and I think we put it out there, people want to try that out, and it didn't really get that much traction. And then you came up with the idea of like mix up Mondays, which is just, like I said, it varies in the runs and the type of runs that we do. And I think that's been really popular because I think people have enjoyed the switch up of the different activities that are on offer.
Yeah, it was just, at this stage, you've sometimes just got to throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks. Most of our runners are kind of beginner intermediate running abilities, I would say, and the vast majority of them haven't done intervals. And I think the idea of a track put a few people off. So then we thought, well, let's just do mix up Mondays. Let's just do a session on Monday, mix it up every now and then, do different courses. We might do some like activities, or we might do some intervals or some hill sprints. Who knows, just turn up and it'll be something. And we tried to make sure that whatever we did, whatever interval session we did, it didn't matter how fast you were. If you do a timed interval and then come back to start, it doesn't matter how fast you sprint, because you're all going to come back to the start and start again. And I think that gave people confidence on, okay, these are intervals. Yeah, they're quite fun, actually. It's different to my normal run, and I'm actually seeing progress from it. My speed's picking up, my park run time's getting better, or whatever. And it's just fun. It's just different. And I think that's kind of built confidence in a lot of people just from doing that. But it was just something we just threw against the wall and see if it stuck. And it stuck, which is good.
Yeah, it's a great point. Like you're saying, I've had a couple of conversations with people and they've said the same type of thing. Like, I started running and this is what I've done. Or if I was going to go to a hill, I wouldn't have done this. But actually running with other people sort of showed me that I can do it. It's given me confidence. And that's amazing, like you're saying, just building that confidence in a very elemental way, as opposed to, like you're saying, I think if it's a track, it seems like it comes with a lot of pressure, like you have to be quick, or you have to come with some sort of expectation. And we're just trying to dispel that myth that you need to be fast to be a member of Enfield Chasers.
I think now if we were to do the track, it would pick up because they've done intervals, they know what it's like, and they'd be interested to do it, and I think in time we probably would do that. Maybe not a fixed thing, but you know, we'd definitely have a track session at some point, and I think it would be quite take up there would be pretty strong. But you touched on just before about, you know, building confidence, etc., and that kind of made me think about something else another concept we're trying at the moment, we're about to roll out next week, and that's the Couch to 5K program. So like I said earlier, a lot of people have said, oh, I'd love to join your running club, but I'm not yet strong enough runner, or how fast do you run, etc. And there's a lot of people are nervous about, or not so confident about their abilities. So we thought, okay, if we were to do a Couch to 5K, would there be interest? So we just put something on social media saying, you know, if you'd like to do Couch to 5K with us, just put a run emoji in the comments, and just, you know, what would happen? And I was a bit nervous that people might think, oh, you know, it's just an excuse. You know, I'd love to join you guys, but not fit enough, so I won't. But the interest was massive, massive for our standards, right? So, you know, we're not exactly a big club, as we've said, but I think it was like 40 people that were keen to do it. And bear in mind, at that time, we're getting about 20 people turn up for a weekly run. So that's, you know, pretty big. So we've decided to do that, and we've got a group of individuals who are going to be running that, and they're all, you know, very talented, and I think they're going to be fantastic in doing this program. And that's bringing in a whole new group of people to running that may not have otherwise been running, because they now have the support of a community to help them in the kind of process of becoming, you know, of being able to run 5K. And I think that's important. That's something that we can do. Then that's community in there. And that's kind of really nice to see.
Yeah, I think it's amazing, like you're saying, like just starting from that elemental thing, which is not a new concept. We're not reinventing the wheel, but it's so needed, especially like we're saying, when people do reach out and they say, am I going to be X enough to join the group? Can I do Y enough to fit in? It's like, let's start from here. And like you're saying, it's a great way to get people introduced into sport and part of the community. And I think it's just amazing to see what will happen from there, really.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see. So we've got, I think, about 26 people signed up, like registered for the program that starts next week. And the idea is, I mean, it's not rocket science. It's pretty established, you know, Couch to 5K is pretty well known. But I guess our twist, which isn't really that scientific or anything, is just that, you know, you're doing three sessions a week. One of those sessions, you're going to do it as a group. You're going to be part of a group chat, and you're going to go through this process with, you know, 25 other people. And there's going to be a few experienced coaches and runners within that group that can help you in the process if you need any questions or advice, etc. And, you know, do training, do warm-ups and cool-downs with you. And yeah, that's, we'll see how it goes. But I'm pretty positive about that. I think it'll be quite a cool little project.
Absolutely. I know you've talked a little bit about Capture 5K, but can you talk about any of the other upcoming events or things that we've got planned?
Sure. So there's a few things. I mean, so 2 days' time or a day's time, we're doing the big half, and that was something that you brought on board, which is, I think, really helped Early Doors, you know, get people into the club doing the big half. So I think there's like 15 of us or 18 of us doing that, which is exciting. After that, when winter starts to come, there's a big risk of losing numbers over winter because it's cold, it's dark. You know, it becomes less appealing to go for a run at 7 p.m. But the one way we're trying to counteract that is with cross country. So we've joined a local cross country league. We're going to use, you know, that as a way to keep people active throughout the winter months and a purpose to train. And cross country is great. You know, it's six races over the winter period. As long as you're a member of an affiliated club, then it's all free. And it's just fun. You don't really worry about your time, your pace, etc., because it depends on the day. How muddy are those grounds? How steep is that hill? They are fantastic. And I haven't done one in years. It was since when I was in my first club in the UK quite a while ago that I did it. And it was the first time. We don't have it in New Zealand. And when I joined cross country, I was like, wow, this is awesome. It's so much fun. So that's something we've got coming up in our club. And I'm really looking forward to that as well. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of people in our club would never have done cross country as adults. Maybe at school they would have, but yeah, it should be a good time that. So that's another one we've got coming. And other things are just trying to do community projects as well. So I'm trying to work with a local charity who plant trees at a reforesting an area in Enfield Chase, and quite hopefully we're going to go do planting as a running club and, you know, friends and family. And that's, there's a lot of interest in that as well. So it's not all about running. We're trying to make sure that we're doing things as a group and bettering our community, as cheesy as that sounds.
No, it makes a lot of sense. I think it's really cool to have that link back to the community where it's not all just about running. But I think it's really cool, even with the big half, when we talked about it, you know, we've got new runners and there were some people that hesitant, thinking, could I do it? I don't know if I can do it. And the cool thing that you're seeing is that they're seeing the people that are going for it and they're thinking, oh, well, maybe based on what I've done, I could do it next year. And they're talking about it in a positive way, like,
and I think that's really cool to
come from them. Yeah, a couple of people said that. Yeah. And I think it's like one of those ones you don't want to put it on someone or force anyone to do anything. Yeah. So it's like you want them to do it in their own time. But it's cool to see, like, how that kind of develops, really.
Yeah, it's really nice. I mean, last Wednesday, one of the things that really kind of, I don't know, a special moment was when a few people said, you know, like, I actually look forward to Wednesdays now. You know, like, Wednesdays is the day I look forward to. You know, people meet up and we get to do this and you know, catch up with everyone. And it's just really uplifting to see that the positive impact that the club is having on people's not just running, but just general life.
Absolutely. And I think just to tie into what you've just said there about the highlights, can you talk about any unexpected highlights that kind of stick out in your mind that have happened to you or other people's stories?
I mean, that was one of them, right? When someone just said, I look forward to my Wednesdays now. I mean, who looks forward to a Wednesday? So it's quite a, yeah, that was quite a cool little thing to say. And also when people contact me just out of the blue, I've had a few members of the club just reach out and say, hey, Andrew, thank you so much for setting this up. You know, it's been really nice to be a part of and get to meet people in the area. It's a thank you. And that's special. That kind of means a lot to show that what we're doing. And it's not just me. I mean, people reach out to me individually, but I may have come up with the name of the idea of the club, but I could not have done this without everyone else's help throughout the way. I mean, especially Stuart at the start, and then you coming on pretty quick as well. You know, like Rachel, Sam, the rest of the committee, and the whole club in general. It's been a bit of a team effort, and the way that it's been shaped and growing is because of the individuals joining.
Absolutely, and shout out to Terry as well. He's been
absolutely. Terry's recent our new recent committee member. So I'm looking forward to the social and the community aspects that she's going to be adding. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and it's all sort of grown organically, really. And I quite like your approach as well, like in the sense of like you don't force it and stuff. You kind of like see what's happening, and you're just like, okay, cool. Maybe now is the right time to ask X person because they've shown something that shows that they want to be involved in this part, or their skills go in that part type thing, as opposed to kind of like trying to put stuff on people.
Forcing fits, right? It's
I think it's been really cool to talk to you about just how it started, the community. I think one thing I didn't actually ask you actually is a bit about your running journey, and like, and obviously now with you know a newborn, it's taken a little bit of a backseat. But can you talk about some of your previous running highlights?
Yeah, sure. So I came into running pretty late in life, and I've been in the UK for 8 years, and I probably was running a year before I moved over here. I did my first marathon in 2016, I think it was, the Athens. I did that with my sister. And for my birthday and training for that, she got me a coach, and he was part of a running club. So that's how I joined a running club. He said, you should join this. It's a new area. Give that a go. So that kind of introduced me into running in the UK and marathon running. So that was my first one, was Athens. I finished it, kind of exceeded my expectations, but I knew I had more in me. So then I went did Berlin, and kind of knocked off a significant amount of time off my PB there, and done a few of the majors, dabbled in some ultras. Yeah, recently, so last year I got made redundant at my job in June, and I used running as a way to structure my life and find, structure my life. You know, a training plan is great because it kind of sets out what you're going to do in the week and gives you reason to wake up in the morning, etc. And, use your time efficiently. So training full on for Chicago while intensely looking for a job was more than a full-time job for me. And I think I'm someone that needs to be active and doing stuff. So running was really important in that, and that's kind of helped my running journey. And then, I managed to get a PB in Chicago, which I was very happy about, and moved on to that and did my first 100 miler in New Zealand in February, which was an experience. I'm not sure if I'll do it again in a hurry, but it was fun actually to do it once.
I think it's so cool hearing all of that. And although we could talk about the running achievements, I think the thing that struck out to me was when you talked about being made redundant and then running and like what it gave to you, that structure. I think it's really important because we're not saying that running solves your problems, but in the same conversation that you said, I had a conversation with someone in the group actually this Wednesday, And they're talking about sometimes when you lose something or you're going through grief, like sometimes it's just, it gives you that structure to do a difficult thing, and it allows you to get moving and then allow you to do make other decisions to help you move forward, which is, it's almost like the starter, the start key, like the first gear. And then obviously you've got to go into the other gears, other areas of your life.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, running is a fantastic tool, right? It can do so much. It's your way of, you know, decompressing from a stressful day, is going for a long run, you know, switching out, kind of, it's quite meditative. Mm-hmm. You go for a sprint session, you know, that's a way of getting that runner's high and kind of burn, like blowing off some steam. Mm-hmm. If you're angry, you can use it to, as a metaphor in life, you can go for, you know, like I was saying there in terms of the redundancy thing, I kind of used running as a structure. You can also use it to meet new people, is what we're doing here. So the running is a powerful tool in life, and that's quite awesome to be able to have that tool in, I guess, you know, in my general life. So that's the running club kind of sprung from that as well, right? Using running to meet new people and engage with people through running.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for like give us a little bit of a background into who you are and for joining me in this conversation, because I think it's a crucial bit really to talk about the beginning stages of growing community and what it looks like. And we're not saying we've got all the answers, but it's just interesting to be part. Interesting is the wrong word. I think it's really vital to be a part of something, because we're both, and all of us in the committee, are still figuring it out, but still wanting to make a connection and do, I guess, quote unquote, the right thing.
Yeah, and that's exciting. I mean, and we're probably going to make some mistakes. We're going to do some things wrong, or we're going to have different opinions, and, you know, we're going to challenge each other. But that's good. You don't want a committee that all think the same, because you might not be thinking the right thing. So you need to have people that have diversity of thought in a committee. And I think we've got that. So we're pretty lucky there. And that's just sprung about the people who joined the running club, really. Yeah. It's,
makes a lot of sense. Andrew, thank you for being a guest on A Runner's Life, and I'm looking forward to bringing you back on the podcast where we can talk a little bit more about other parts of what it's like to build and develop a running club.
Great. I look forward to it. Thank you very much, Marcus. And also, thank you very much for being part of the Enfield Chasers story as well. It's been a fantastic journey so far. I'm looking forward to seeing what we do.
Yeah, no, thanks.
Going ahead.
Yeah. No, thanks for inviting me. I think when you reached out, I was like, this makes so much sense. Even the name is like Enfield Chase. Yeah, Enfield Chasers. Like, how's this not been thought of before? I've passed the station so many times, and like, how have I just missed it?
I mean, honestly, that's probably why. That's probably the primary reason I started the club. Right, we live in Enfield Chase for those like listening. So, as soon as I arrived at the train station, I was like, Enfield Chase, huh? Enfield Chasers would be a cool running club name. And then it was just a little seed started from there. Yeah.
Was it kind of based on like Clapham Chasers, I guess?
Well, I lived in Fulham, right? So I was maybe at the Fulham Running Club. Okay. So Clapham Chasers were across the river. So I guess there's a part of that, yeah. I mean, Chasers is a common running club name, I think. But yeah, it just works.
It's meant to be. And on that bombshell, we're going to wrap it up for this conversation. Thanks, Andrew.
All right. Thank you, Marcus.